1-1 pitch. Swing and a drive. Deep to right field. Way up there. Way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager! That just happened! Thank you very much!
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And welcome back to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill here. Thanks for coming back once again. Well, first of all, sorry about yesterday. No podcast yesterday. I ran into a bit of a situation. I didn't have internet last night, which, as it turns out, is a problem. I had lent out my hotspot, which is my backup. So I was without that. So I was dead in the water. I had nothing. Nothing going. So I threw up my hands and I quit. There was no podcast yesterday, and that was the reason. So some technical difficulties kind of out of my control. But thanks for your concerns, your tweets and emails concerned about my well-being. I'm just fine. Don't worry. I was okay. It was all technical. And, yeah, it happens once in a while. You know, this is daily for the most part. You know, once in a while I'll take a morning game off and the couple holidays through the season. But we're daily for the most part. But once in a while, something crops up that makes us not daily during a specific week. And that happened this week. But we're back today. And we have a couple of games to talk about. Here's what we're going to do in this podcast. So a couple of really tough losses for the Mariners the past couple of games. So we'll dive into both of them a little bit. Yesterday's ballgame in particular is pretty thick. There's a lot to get to, and we're going to get a lot of post-reaction sound from those two games because there's some intriguing things that went down in those two games. So we'll talk about that. Rick Waits sat down with Shannon Dreyer for a few minutes, and he talks about the Major League debuts that he has seen, one that he saw at the time. He hadn't seen Montgomery yet, but he talks about Montgomery a little bit. Also talks about Felix's last start, which is pretty unusual, and talks about Danny Farquhar in Tacoma as well. So that's really good stuff. I always love having Rick Waits on. I love hearing him talk about pitching. So he's going to talk about all of those items coming up. Also, Mike Blowers is going to... So if you missed the tweet I sent out or on Instagram as well, I posted a picture and tweeted a picture of Nelson Cruz the other day taking BP with a donut on his bat. I mean, a full-fledged 20-ounce donut on his bat, and he's taking BP with it. I mean, how strong is that? Mike Blowers is going to talk about that. Has he seen that happen? He has. He's done it himself, and he's going to have a pretty good couple of pretty good stories talking about that. That comes up. Also, last Friday, the Mariners had a fireworks night. They have another fireworks night coming up as well. Josh Kearns, who comes by once a week, has a great feature on that coming up as well. So big podcast, day baseball as well. So we get you ready for that game as Taijuan Walker takes the mound again. We'll see if he can follow up the best outing of his career when he went 8 scoreless his last time out. But first things first, so let's talk about the Felix start for here for a couple of minutes. Felix against the Yankees, so much anticipation for this one. High court in session. Felix Pineda, of course, Felix coming off that brilliant start in Tampa Bay. And wow, he was on his game early.
Fans down at Kings Court already on their feet looking for a strikeout. Leadoff batter Brett Gardner batting .274. The windup by Felix and the 0-2 swing and a miss. Strike three, and they're going to get it. Three pitches, and Felix Hernandez strikes out Brett Gardner to open up his ball game.
It was tough to be any better than Felix was in the first three innings. He was just mowing down the Yankees as efficient as could be.
Two outs, nobody on, no score, though, 1-1. Flores swings, hits a ground ball right there to the shortstop. Brad Miller, a backhand stab, throws low, but taken there by Morrison. As he bent at the knees, Flores is out, and it's been 9 up, 9 down so far tonight for the King in game one against the Yankees.
And I don't know about you at that point. I'm watching the first three innings, and I'm thinking this could be something special. I mean, he had that kind of stuff. He was that efficient. He was locked in. I mean, he looked fantastic. But then it all changed in the fourth inning. Gave up a couple of runs, and then the fifth just lost his command. I mean, he ended up walking five in the start, gave up the grand slam to Teixeira. So 4 2/3 for Felix, 7 earned runs when it's all said and done, 5 walks and 4 strikeouts for Felix Hernandez. The Yankees win game one of the series, 7-2. Also some questions about Felix having to deal with the rain and the mound and some things that went on during the ball game. Here's what Felix had to say about his start after the game.
Lost my command. I fell behind a lot of times. I mean, a lot of walks kill me, and I make a lot of mistakes.
Looks like you're fighting the mound.
Yeah, a little bit, but that's not an excuse. I mean,
when was the last time you remember it happening that quickly, just losing command like that?
Actually, I don't remember. No, I don't remember. Just one of those days. I mean, weird days.
It looked like on the mound that you got tentative, though. You're trying to get your spikes clear, and you just couldn't do it, and then...
Yeah, I would say yes, but it's not. That's not what happened. It just, man, making me stay. I fell behind. I threw a lot of walks, and then Teixeira came big with the run sign.
You had a rhythm going, though, at that point, and then you were trying to clean off the shoes quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I was like this, taking dirt on my cleats, and it was... But you know what? It's not that thing. It's just one of those days, and it's on me.
And that's the way Felix always is after games. He's always putting it on himself. I mean, that's what he does. He always stands up after, for good or for bad. And that was obviously a tough start to the 3-game series with the Yankees. Although, on the positive side, the Mariners did have a big league debut, and he looked good.
The 2-2. Swing and a miss for strike three, a 95-mile-an-hour punch out there from Michael Guaype in his big league debut, and that is his first major league strikeout. It goes against Ramon Flores.
Guaype, 2 1/3 innings, no hits, no runs, no walks, and 2 strikeouts. That was very impressive. Also good to see Leon bounce back from a tough game the day before on Sunday. He went 2 innings, gave up just 1 hit, no runs, and struck out 2. But the Mariners fall in game 1, 7-2, and that set the table for what was a very interesting game last night. First of all, Mike Montgomery making his major league debut, so the second game in a row, a pitcher making their major league debut in a Mariners uniform, and for the second day in a row, the pitcher was outstanding.
The 0-1 pitch on the way. Rodriguez with a swing and a fly ball into the gap in the right center field. Over calling for it. Nelson Cruz is there, and he makes the catch for out number 3. What a first inning in the big leagues for Mike Montgomery. A 1-2-3, top of the first for the Yankees.
Outstanding start for Montgomery. Keeps the Yankees off the board in the first, and he does the same in the second. And that would lead us to a very interesting third inning. So here's how it started. Drew ground out to second base, so one down, and then a Gardner walk, and this is how it sounded.
This at-bat for Gardner is as many pitches as Montgomery threw in the first inning. 9 already. Here comes number 10. Check swing, appeal, and he does not go. It's ball 4. So close to being strike 3, but Gardner draws a 1-out walk. Lloyd McLennan can't believe it. He is really giving it to the home plate umpire. Mike DeMiro and also Tony Randazzo, the umpire over at third base. We saw a lot of movement with that bat. Oh, my goodness. If he hit the ball, he would have doubled.
So there it is. That set the table. That set the table for the fireworks. Then Young fouls out to first base, so there's 2 down, 1 on. Alex Rodriguez is the hitter, and here's what happened.
The 3-2, check swing, appeal to first base, and he doesn't go around. Rodriguez draws a walk. And here comes Lloyd McClendon, and the fuse might be short.
Oh my. There he goes.
He just got tossed. Lloyd is in a dead sprint out to first base, and he's got words with Will Little.
He took his hat off, and he is face-to-face with Little, the first base umpire. He didn't like that call by the third base umpire on the check swing by Gardner, which he went, which should have been strike 3. And obviously didn't like the check swing by Rodriguez, who looked like he had gone.
And Zunino just got a run, too. Lloyd and Zunino both got ejected within a span of less than 15 seconds. Lloyd has thrown his hat again. He kicks the hat. He gives it the boot with the right foot. And Lloyd is stomping to home like he's trying to put out a fire. And he's wagging his finger right in the face of Mike DeMuro. Lloyd's looking for something else to toss.
Well, he's going now to the third base umpire, Tony Randazzo, who blew that check swing on Gardner for ball four. It should have been strike three. And now Lloyd is really giving it to Randazzo. And I'll tell you what, this has been the best show we've seen by the skipper since he arrived last year. But he is red, red hot. Not once, but twice on check swings. Yankees, I think, getting some breaks here in the top half of the third. And Lloyd is really, really hot.
Now, this is the second coming of Lou Piniella as Lloyd kicks the dirt next to third base. And he is hot to trot. He's going to throw out his shoulder.
He even gave something to the second base umpire, Phil Cuzzi, the crew chief, and he had nothing to do with it. He said, you too. What a show by Lloyd McLennan. And he's getting a standing ovation by the crowd here at Safeco Field. How about that?
Well, there it was. I mean, Lloyd McLennan, he went around the horn to every umpire. It gets tossed. Mike Zunino gets tossed. And here was Mike Zunino after the ball game talking about it.
I mean, defending my pitchers is the biggest thing. I mean, obviously, I'm out there to help them and get through innings. And, you know, when something happens with them, that's the guys I want to protect. And, I mean, it's just one of those where I must have gone too far tonight.
Was it different that, I mean, this was a guy making his debut out there. You're, I'm sure, trying to get everything you can for him. Did that kind of impact you a little bit?
No. I mean, there's been circumstances where it's been other guys, too. And it's just, I mean, when that game starts going and your emotions get into it and situations get tighter, I mean, everything starts to build. And, you know, I just want everything to, you mean, go right. And I thought it was, at that time, a call that I obviously thought otherwise. But it's one of those things where it is what it is, and then I let it get too far.
Did you think otherwise on both of those check swings?
Yeah, I mean, I thought so. And it's one of those things, I mean, they obviously have the best angle there. And it was just one of those, look like they committed to swing. But there's nothing you can do about it now.
At what point were you aware that they had run you, that he had ejected you? At what point were...
I saw him ring me up once. I looked down there for the second time. And, I mean, it was just one of those where body language-wise or whatever I did was obviously too far and crossed the line. And just one of those things where, I mean, I don't want to do that to our starting pitcher or to Wellington to get thrown into that spot.
From what you could tell, it was the gesture. It wasn't something you said or something that...
No, yeah. I mean, at that point, it was all gestures. I mean, afterwards, I mean, when I got really upset knowing I got wrong. But it was just one of the things at that point, it was gestures. Nothing was said at that point besides I thought he went. And, I mean, what can you do about it now?
So he gets tossed for the very first time in his career. But the thing you have to love about that is in total defense of his pitcher, that is a catcher going to work for his pitcher right there. That is a teammate right there going to work. Mike Zunino gets tossed. Lloyd McLendon gets chucked as well. We'll talk about him in just a second. We'll hear from him in just a second. The unfortunate part after all of that is Teixeira drives in a run right after that. What the inning could have been over at that point, should have been over at that point. Instead, Teixeira drives in a run, and the Yankees are on top. Mike Montgomery, though, he really buckled down, too. And after that, that was it. Did not give up another run. He pitched really, really well.
Montgomery turns and tosses. Big swing and a miss. Gets him with the curveball. And Mike Montgomery strikes out Carlos Beltran. A 1-2-3 top of the sixth. And if that's all she wrote for Mike Montgomery, he exits to a standing ovation here inside Safeco Field. One run over six innings. And Mike Montgomery's major league debut against the New York Yankees.
Yeah, Cruz drove in a run in the third, so Montgomery, he left with the score tied, six innings, four hits, one run, two walks, four strikeouts, a grand major league debut on 97 pitches, but a little gift before he left as the Mariners put a run on the board in the bottom of the sixth inning. He's still the pitcher of record at that point, so the Mariners with the lead and a chance to give Montgomery the win. But in the ninth inning, Fernando Rodney on, trying to close down a one-run ball game. And here's how things developed. A leadoff walk to Chase Headley. Beltran flat out to right. Then he got a strikeout. So there's two down, a pinch hitter, a single to left field. So runners on the corners at this point. Stephen Drew, who has struggled this year, is the hitter. And this is what happened.
Rodney in with a sign. Here's the set. And the 1-2 on the way. Swing and a line drive. Base hit down the right field line. Here comes Headley on to score. Tie game. McCann around to third. Up with the ball is Cruz. The throw in is cut off by Cano. And the Yankees have tied this game at 2-2 here in the top of the ninth inning. Stephen Drew with a double.
Stephen Drew a double driving in the tying run. It would go to extra innings. And then a big three-run home run in the 11th. Garrett Jones swatting it. Boy, it was crushed to center field off of Joe Bimel, who relieved Tom Wilhelmsen, a three-run blast. Yankees up three, but the Mariners, I mean, they mount a threat against Andrew Miller, who's been essentially untouchable this year. He'd given up two earned runs. In fact, between Betances and Miller combined, they'd given up two earned runs and over 50 innings of baseball. The back of the Yankees rotation is so good between those two guys. But the Mariners, they crawl back. They get one back in the 11th inning.
Here's the pitch to Cano. Swinging a ground ball through the left side for a base hit. Castile running third, heading home. Up with the ball is Gardner. No throw to the plate. The throw will go to third. And the Mariners have a run here in the bottom of inning number 11. It's now the Yankees 5 and the Mariners 3.
But it would end there with two on. Cruz standing at the plate, the winning run. He strikes out to end the ball game. The Mariners fall 5-3 in 11 innings. They've lost the series in what was a brutal ball game. When you look at how it developed, all the fireworks early on, major league debut for Montgomery. A lot of good things happened along the way. When you look at, Austin Jackson reaches base six times, had four hits in the ball game. Cano had a couple of hits, Seager a couple, Morrison had a couple hits as well, Castillo two off the bench, 14 hits total. But again, the number we talk about, or we have talked about, especially as of late, 3-17 with runners in scoring position. Lots of chances for the Mariners. They couldn't come through. And then Rodney, of course, blows the save. Montgomery, great, but does not get a major league win in his first start, although well deserving of it. Here is the skipper, Lloyd McClendon, talking about everything after the ball game.
First of all, before we get started, I don't want to get this loss in the shuffle. The debut of our starter was tremendous. I thought he did an outstanding job against a real good ball club, and I was very proud of the way he went about his business. So,
nice pick me up for your rotation.
Very nice. He did an outstanding job. I don't have enough adjectives to explain how good he was tonight, but it was outstanding.
Hey, Lloyd, when you drive home tonight, what's the thing that gnaws at you or sticks with you about tonight's game?
Well, there's a lot of things. I mean, we had a lot of things going on in this ball game, and to be one strike away from winning a ball game, that's tough. But one thing I'll share with my club, and I'll share with you guys. Bad times don't last, but good men do, and I got good men in the clubhouse, and we'll be just fine.
What is the approach with Rodney now?
What's the approach with Rodney? Well, he blew a save. I'll stay the course. And I believe this. Listen, I know a lot of people are going to be up in arms because he blew a save, but a lot of people blow saves. And when it happens to your club, you take it personally. But it's my job, when all about them are losing their head and blaming it on me, to keep my head. And I'll do that. I'll stay the course. We'll work with Rodney. We need him. We'll make him better. And in the end, I think he'll make us all proud.
Were you surprised to see that much emotion out of Zunino tonight?
No, the one thing that I don't understand, and it's very frustrating, these guys play the game, they play it with passion, and a lot of times they're accused of going through the motions. And when they show emotions, they're ejected. Now, he was ejected in a situation where I was trying to get out of the dugout to save him. Could not have said anything derogatory. All he did was disagree with a call, so... That's very unfortunate. You have a catcher that shows passion. He cares about what he's doing. He cares about his pitcher, and he gets ejected for that. To me, that's just not acceptable, and that's not right. And we have to do something about that.
What is the recourse on that?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what the recourse is. I don't have that answer. Somebody's got it, but maybe they'll figure it out.
Thank you.
Did he give you an explanation why Zunino was ejected? Did he say something?
Well, it's just simple, you know. No, it's, you know, said he can't do that. He can't show me up like that. And, you know, my comment was real simple. You showed yourself up because you missed the call. So, you know, we have to show more restraint than that. For Zunino to react quickly with passion and then head to the mound and to give the ball to his pitcher and get thrown out, it's not right.
It was an accumulation, though, because you had one earlier in the inning.
Sure.
Some of the execution, you talked about some chances to win the game. You know, late in the game, you had some runners on, just couldn't kind of come through there. The
guy's throwing 99 miles an hour. It's pretty tough, you know, particularly when he elevates up in the zone. You know, they got a good bullpen. They can shut you down the night they shut us down.
You mentioned these are tough times. Talk to the guys last year. What group
did
you have?
Well, you know, listen, last year's last year. I think every year is a different journey. And this year, this is a different journey. And to this point, it's been treacherous waters, you know. But that's why they call me the skipper. You know, when you're in treacherous water, you stand to the front of your boat and you direct it. So, and that's my job. And I'll lead these guys and we'll get out of this, you know. It's not the end of the world. We're four games under, but we've been there before. We know how to fight and we know how to crawl and get out of it. So we'll be just fine.
Good to see Austin kind of have four hits in that game.
We had a lot of good things happen tonight. I forgot a lot of it. So, but you know, Morrison had great at bats. Austin had great at bats. A young starter was just phenomenal. Robbie got two hits. You know, a lot of good things. There's some bad things that happened. You know, we got to straighten it out. So.
Seager bunting on his own.
Yeah, he was bunting trying to. Yeah, he was trying to get a base hit to score a run against a real tough pitcher that's been and traditionally has been tough on him. Yeah.
And now the Mariners don't have much time to think about it. Quick turnaround. Day baseball from Safeco Field today, 12:40 first pitch. Tanaka against Walker. It's been a while since Tanaka's been on the mound. He went on the DL April 29th with a strained forearm, 2-1 with a 3.22 ERA. So we'll see how he comes out tomorrow. It's been a while since he's been on the mound. Of course, last year dealing with the injury questions as well. A tear in his right elbow that he's trying to work around, so some question marks. Taijuan Walker, meanwhile, will take the mound for the M's. Walker was outstanding his last time out. 8 shutout innings against Cleveland, 2 hits, fanned 8, didn't walk anybody. Mariners trying to salvage the final game of the series and look to Taijuan Walker to help do it. A couple of notes to get to before we turn our attention to other things here. Austin Jackson reached base 6 times last night, 4 hits, 1 walk, 1 hit by pitch. First time in his career he's reached base 6 times in one game. Hitting streak now at 6 games as well. Logan Morrison extended his hitting streak to 10 games. That's since May 24th. He's hitting .342 in that stretch. Nelson Cruz, his 20th two-out RBI of the season with the single in the third inning, and that's tied for the Major League lead in two-out RBIs. Encarnacion of Toronto, Reddick of Oakland, the other two ties. Charlie Furbush has not allowed to run to score in 21 of his 22 appearances this season, including 14 straight. He has stranded all 12 inherited runners he has seen. On the other side of things, Fernando Rodney now has blown 2 of his last 3 save chances. He's 14 for 17 on the season, but May has not gone well. In his last 12 games, an 8.25 ERA. That's 11 earned runs in 12 innings since May 4th. He has really struggled. So now we've talked a lot about pitchers, especially some of the new faces that we've seen, the Felix start. So the perfect time to hand it over to Shannon Dreyer, standing alongside pitching coach Rick Waits.
Rick, yesterday, one of the stranger performances I've seen from Felix, and the more I go look at it, his first 3 innings, everything's around the zone, and then all of a sudden, everything is out of the zone, less fastball as well. What did you see?
There's no doubt about it. For the first 3 innings, everything was clicking, every pitch, location, especially movement. He had a lot of movement last night. Then he got to that fourth, fifth inning, and he seemed to just start getting a little fast, I thought. I thought he started getting a little bit out of his mechanics. He tried to recapture it, you know, by he was missing with his fastball. His fastball was moving a lot, all of a sudden sinking a lot. He tried to throw, you know, breaking balls, changeups to try to get back into the count. And one pitch really got him. That was a great effort by Teixeira, but also it could have been a double play. Just that one pitch, it would have changed the whole game. But I just thought he got a little fast and got out of his mechanics a little bit.
And just to clear up, the rain came down. We did see him kicking off the spikes, but he said and the skipper said that really didn't have much of an impact.
No, I don't think it had very little impact at all. I think any time it starts to rain, you're checking the mound, you know, and he might have slipped on a couple of pitches, but, you know, he cleaned his cleats. And he's been around too long for a couple things. First of all, if the mound is too wet, he's smart enough to know stop and get it right. And if it's okay, he's going to continue to pitch. So I don't think it had any impact at all in the overall performance.
Flip side of that is we saw just a terrific debut from a kid who unfortunately is no longer here, but that had to be a little bit of a thrill to see Michael Guaype go out there.
Well, you know, I was a coordinator before last year, and I was able to see Guaype come on board with us a few years ago, and we saw a big, powerful young man who's, you know, was learning how to pitch and learning how to command not only his pitches, his emotions and everything. And I mean, what a pleasure to see him, and for me to be able to see it myself, his major league debut. And he was really terrific for 2 1/3 inning. I was so proud of him, and he's done a great job. We got somebody here for the future.
It's good to know. You all have some hello depth right there.
I'll take as many good arms as we can get, trust me.
And then today, a little bit of a mystery. What can you tell us about Montgomery?
Well, of course, he signed with us or came over to us after or about the day we left spring training. So I've only been able to watch him on video. I've talked with Jamie Navarro down in AAA about his pitching and his performances. And he's really had a good year. I mean, he's gone deep in the game many times. He's got, you know, a terrific fastball, a real sharp, almost above average curveball, and also a very good changeup. He also will throw a little cutter. So he's a four-pitch pitcher, which I like, and he attacks his zone and goes right after hitters. So I'm sure he'll be a nervous guy on that first game, but he's a fighter, and we're going to sit back and enjoy hopefully another good appearance by a first time in a major league game.
Let's go 2 for 2 on that. That'd be good.
That's
right?
True.
All right. Hey, we've seen a lot of people come out on the field. We haven't seen him on the mound yet. Tell us a little bit about his progress.
Well, you know, he did his early throwing while we were on the road, so I wasn't able to watch those first 4 or 5 times out there. But since I've been home and since he's been really cleared to get more aggressive with his throwing, he's looked terrific, you know, especially today. I think it was his third day in a row. And here, very aggressive at the end. We got the catcher down just on a little flat ground. You could really see the ball coming out with nice spin and nice trajectory. So the thing with Kuma is that when he has those big smiles at the end of his throwing, you know he's feeling great. And he had a big smile today. So he's feeling great. We're moving toward bullpens hopefully soon, and we're moving to getting him in the games.
Lastly, Danny Farquhar doing some work down in Tacoma, getting the start today. And that's not so much to start him as it is to get him work, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a good way for him to go out there and throw 3 or 4 innings and use all his pitches and just get back in that good groove. This will give him an opportunity to throw the fastball, throw the cutter, throw the curveball, throw some pitches and get back into that good groove and good pitcher that we know Danny is. So we're not concerned about him, but we are concerned about him getting back into that good groove.
Absolutely. Sounds good. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
That's Rick Waits. When we come back, we'll have the Picks to Click after this word from our presenting game sponsor, Farmers Insurance.
I always love to hear Rick Waits talk pitching. Love it. And there he is once again. We appreciate his time. Now we're going to give it over to Aaron Goldsmith and Mike Blowers talking about something pretty interesting. Nelson Cruz, again, I put the picture on Twitter or on Instagram at Gary Hill Jr., both places, if you want to see it. But it's Nelson Cruz swinging with a donut on his bat, 20 ounces, which is remarkable. And here's Mike Blowers talking about that phenomenon.
Yesterday during batting practice, we eyed Nelson Cruz in the batting cage taking hacks with a donut on his bat. Have you ever seen somebody take swings in the cage with a donut?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have, and I have actually tried to do it. The first time I ever saw it was Edgar Martinez, and Edgar did it regularly. So one day I was struggling, and Edgar was talking about, you know, weight shift and balance and hands and control and all these different things. And he finally looked at me and said, come on, I want you to try something. So he put a donut on my bat, which is unusual, and we started hitting off the tee. And at first, I couldn't believe how difficult that was. And he started talking to me about different things and the reason why it was. And then we did some soft toss drills, and then eventually I ended up taking it out to batting practice. And for the rest of my career, when I was having a tough time staying back and hitting the ball to right center, I'd start taking rounds with the donut on there. Now, I don't recommend kids doing this, because if you miss, that thing can ricochet and hit you right in the face. So it's something that you have to be really careful with. But I've seen it before. And, you know, all these guys are trying to do the same thing, Aaron, and that is get themselves in the proper hitting position, whether it's their lower half, their stride, their weight transfer, and they come up with different things. I remember Hal Morris, a teammate of mine when I was with the Yankees. We were both rookies. He eventually went on to play for the Reds and won a batting title over there. And one of the things he used to do, which I haven't seen anybody else ever do, is he would get a tee out and put the ball up to where it was eye level, and he would take swings hitting this thing. And he said, if I can get on top of this ball, I can get on top of everything. And all I want to do is hit the top half of the ball, because I want to hit line drives and ground balls, because he was an average type of hitter. And he didn't worry about the home runs. But these guys will come up with drills. Hitting coaches can come up with a ton of different drills. But the purpose of all of them is to get yourself in the proper hitting position.
Now, not all donuts are created equally. As Nelson said today from inside the clubhouse, he said, the donut that I had on my bat yesterday was about 20 ounces. He said, that's too heavy. He said, I felt like I was swinging two bats. Normally, he uses a donut, he says, somewhere in the range of 12 to 16 ounces. That seems maybe a little more manageable.
I think so. I mean, 20 ounces just seems so ridiculous to me. But, hey, he's a strong man, and we've seen that. I guarantee you this, when he takes that donut off and takes a few swings without it, the amount of bat speed that he's going to feel that he's generating is going to be off the chart. But, yeah, I think I'd be more towards the 12-ounce donut. He can do the 16-20 drill, but, again, you know, he recognized that it is, because you have to have control of the bat. And if you get to a point to where it's too heavy and you can't control, then probably taking it down a notch is pretty good.
Is that ever an issue that now the bat becomes so light that now your timing is so thrown off that you're way in front?
That happens to some guys. I used to like that feeling. We'll see Nelson when he's standing on deck. He'll have the donut on his bat, and sometimes he'll swing two bats just to get loose and do his thing. I kind of like that extra weight. So when I went to home plate, I felt like the bat was so light in my hand, I could wait longer, let the ball travel, and it would shorten me up. Some guys feel that they want to feel the bat in their hand and feel the weight of it. So it's really a personal preference. And, you know, for him, I watched him on deck. He likes that feeling, and he swings a heavy bat to begin with, but he likes the feeling of it lighter in his hands.
And finally, let's hand it over to Josh Kearns, going to talk some Mariners fireworks. Here he is.
Zero. That's going to be Roman candles, which come tomorrow. So we're going to be 1 through 6. Everything straight up.
Here atop the roof track overlooking left field at Safeco Field, a handful of workers huddle over what look like racks of toilet paper and paper towel rolls, preparing for the first Mariners fireworks show of the season.
This particular rack is holding what we call comets, different colors. We've got blue, gold, orange, purple. They range in different sizes here. This particular rack is going to shoot 38 millimeter, and this particular tells us it's actually going to go 275 feet up in the air.
It's old hat for the crew from Sacramento-based Pyro Spectaculars. They've been doing shows for the Mariners since way back in the King Dome days.
Okay, so did you get that?
So you want the loops are about what, like that?
Yeah, about that high. Or
Special Projects Manager John Burson has overseen most of them, and on this sun-drenched Seattle afternoon, he keeps a close eye from the roof as the team of 10 strings their charges across the Safeco Field light ring, roof track, and CenturyLink Field parking garage. It's a process that started months ago and began with the soundtrack to the show.
This year we started talking about music in February. The show was designed starting mid-April, and then the prep started mid-May. So it takes a couple of weeks of prep, a couple of weeks of design. There's some back and forth.
It's up to John to come up with the biggest and the best bangs. He's much like an artist with a blank canvas, although in this case his canvas is Safeco Field, his favorite among the many stadiums he's fired up over the years.
I think that's what's nice about it is it makes it a very personal experience for each stadium. They each get their own style of show. And, you know, as you do more shows, you try to build some signatures into those shows that are sort of unique to that venue. And so, you know, with the Mariners, I think we've done that fairly successfully so far.
It's not always easy. John is somewhat constrained by the stadium and the city around him. He can't just launch the kind of bombardment he'd unleash in one of those big 4th of July shows like on Lake Union.
We really have restrictions on how big we can get, how big the devices can be. We're kind of limited to a 2-inch device, which in the world of fireworks is a pretty small device in terms of an aerial shell.
But despite those restrictions, he manages to make each show spectacular and unique. This year's first show was set to some top hits from the 90s. The Mariners manager of game entertainment and special events, Michael Ferguson, says the goal is to always create a one-of-a-kind experience.
That's something we strive for every time. From themes to last year we experimented with the sing-along, where fans got to sing along during the pyro show.
Next month, the Force will even be with Safeco Field in a Star Wars-themed show.
You know, that's going to be fun for us because we can really theme that out again, music and graphics and imagery. But we're always trying to think of what's next. What we want to do is we want to engage the audience. We want to make them part of the show, give them that wow factor.
That wow factor is more than just the fireworks. One of the things that makes Safeco Field show so special is the supersized Mariners Vision screen, which becomes part of the presentation. And this year, they'll work in the new LED lighting for the first time as well, coordinating it with the rest of the show. For John, it's just another piece to the pyro puzzle.
Some of it is trying to make sure that that integration, that you're not stepping on each other and that everybody kind of knows what's going to work. And, you know, what we hope we're doing for the audience is putting together a seamless presentation. So it's not just a fireworks show. It's a show. It's a display with lots of elements and lots of things happening.
Only one thing, though, could stop that from happening: a heavy rain. So far, somehow, that hasn't happened since the Safeco fireworks started several years ago.
Knock on wood, we have not. We have not been rained out yet. We've been close, but we have a plan in place for that. If it starts to rain a little bit, we will scale down the show some. If it's an absolute downpour, then we'd probably cancel it.
Thankfully, though, Mother Nature seems to shine a light on Safeco Field whenever John comes to town. And we can only hope she continues to throughout this summer. The Mariners still have 3 more fireworks shows scheduled, including the Star Wars one, another sing-along, and the Song of the Summer. Yeah. I'm Josh Kearns.
See you later!